All right, we're just going to start in our scriptures. Everyone get your scriptures. You want to turn to Exodus chapter 4, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. Now, you read that and you're like, wait, why is God hardening Pharaoh's heart? That's crazy. You're going to read that here. You're going to read several iterations of that idea where the scriptures will say, but God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Let's just correct that. What you want to use is just down below, you have a great footnote in 21C where it says, and I will prosper thee, but Pharaoh will harden his heart, and he will not let the people go. Make sure you point that out, because I think sometimes when we study the plagues, we read the plague story as a way that God's trying to just stick it to the Egyptians and stick it to Pharaoh. I think what the Lord's trying to do is teach the Egyptians and Pharaoh and us of his absolute undeniable power. And we're going to show you what we mean by that today. Welcome to Jesus Christ in Scripture, Finding Christ on Every Page. I'm Tammy Uzalak Hall, and this is my friend, Dr. Donald W. Perry. And this is part one of two. So Don, let's do the plagues. Okay. This is the most fun way to do the plagues, by the way.
Yes.
It's mind-blowing, and I loved learning it.
I do too. Our theme is Jehovah vanquishes the Egyptian deities with each plague. I'm going to explain this.
Okay.
So let's start with what Jehovah stated. He said, against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, or I am Jehovah. And here's what we're going to try to show everyone. There was a direct correspondence between each plague and one or more of the Egyptian deities. Now we'll explain that as we go.
Okay. Because you probably sometimes, I know for me, when I would teach this in seminary, we would just have fun drawing out the plagues.
Yes.
Like, who can name the plagues?
Yes.
Do you know the order of the plagues? And that's a great way to teach it. And then this is just taking that level, and we're going to level up now. And we're going to teach you how these plagues were connected to Egyptian deities. This is so cool. Sorry, I had to interrupt because I just love this.
Oh, this is great.
Okay.
Now, this is a little side note. I found this etching of the 10 plagues of Egypt. The etching was done in 1917. It's in Hebrew, and it has an image or a little drawing of each of the 10 plagues. And here it says, these are the 10, in Hebrew, it's smitings.
Oh, wow.
Four plagues that the Holy One, blessed is He, brought upon the Egyptians in Egypt. And then it says, and these are they, and then it goes through all 10. It's just kind of like a poster that summarizes them all. I just wanted to share it with
people. No, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it was just kind of fun.
Very cool.
So I need to explain to everyone, when we say there's a direct connection between each plague and one or more of the Egyptian deities, here's my main source. I want everyone to know this. Some scholars have suggested that the 10 plagues were directed by the God of the Hebrews against particular Egyptian deities. There should be no question that the biblical authors understood the plagues in that manner. And for the gods and goddesses that we're going to show in this PowerPoint, for them and their identification, see this book. Now, this is a great author, a great book, and see these pages. I'm not recommending people go out and get the book.
Okay.
I'm just saying this is our source in case someone says, what's your source? Because there are so many different opinions about every chapter of the Bible.
True.
I've seen this. I've gone to conferences for 35 years and read many, many books. Now, for the spellings of the different gods and goddesses, I got them from this same author.
Okay.
And I want everyone to know sometimes there are different ways to spell some of their names. So if you see a spelling and you say, oh, you misspelled it. No, I'm spelling it the way he spelled it.
Okay.
And there are different ways to transliterate, same with Hebrew, different ways to transliterate different names. So someone, the name Isaac, some transliterate Yitzhak. That's an example.
Yeah.
And there are other examples. And then one more thing is there are different ways to pronounce the name.
Yeah.
I'm still going to avoid it today. I just know there are different opinions, and I don't want someone to say, he can't even pronounce it correctly. Well, there are different ways, and the scholars have different opinions on how to pronounce some of the names.
That's kind of fun then, because if you do this with kids, they can pronounce however they want, because we don't really know.
So I'm just trying to be wise.
Smart.
All right. First, I want to point out that in Exodus chapter 9, 13 through 16, God reveals six purposes for the plagues.
Okay.
Someone might say, why? So I want you to look at the red font.
Yeah.
Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, one, let my people go so they can return to the promised land. Number two, that they may serve me. Mm-hmm. Number three, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. Number four, thou, speaking of the Egyptians, shalt be cut off from the earth. Number five, to show in thee my power. And number six, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Now here, we, Sister Hall and I, are reading this, and we're talking about the plagues.
Yeah.
All these years later, millennia later, so my name may be declared. We're still declaring his name.
I have a kind of a fun story.
Yeah, Sarah.
When I taught this in seminary, one year I had my students in the Old Testament highlight every time it says, let my people go that they may serve me. Because it almost starts out every time Moses comes to Pharaoh, he says that. Let my people go that they may serve me. So this young boy, 17 years old, had highlighted it in his scriptures. And he was so funny. He was just kind of a funny kid. I didn't really know if he was paying attention. Well, I didn't come to school the next day because I was sick and I had a substitute. And the substitute came in and picked up where I had left off. And the substitute said to the class, okay, so why was Moses going to Pharaoh all the time? And this boy raised his hand and said, in the scriptures it says, Moses said, let my people go that they may serve me. And the substitute said, I don't think it says that.
Oh,
and the boy goes, no, I marked it. And then the next day he told me that. He's like, Sister, I've sounded so smart, Sister Uzelak. I had marked all of them and I taught the substitute something. So I love that.
That's a great story.
I know. He felt so proud, this 17-year-old boy.
That's a great story.
It's very important.
All right. Before we begin, let's look at how they were signified.
Okay. Okay, so we have plagues 1-4. Aaron stretched forth his staff, and the Lord said unto Moses, say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt. The next is plague 5 was Jehovah sent a plague. The hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague on your livestock. Plague 6, Moses sprinkled ashes toward heaven. Let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. Plague 7-9, Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven. And then plague 10, Jehovah smote the firstborn. The Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt and all the firstborn of cattle. Why is it important to know that these are the different ways?
I just think it's powerful to know that God's prophet, Moses, and his brother Aaron, and the Lord were all involved in some manner. Mm-hmm. This was not Moses or Moses and Aaron trying to decide what should we do and how should we signify the plagues. So I think this is just an important element to see how they were signified.
Oh, I think that's great.
So plague 1 is water to blood. How is it directed to the Egyptian goddesses or gods and their domains? This is the god of the Nile and fertility. So the Nile is one of the waters that turned to blood. It's showing that Jehovah has power over this god. He made the rivers undrinkable.
I think what's so significant about this is that for me as a little kid, I just assumed they were just random plagues that were chosen and there was no reason to them. And now we're learning that the reason is every plague combats an Egyptian god. Next one we have are frogs. It's the frog-headed goddess of fertility and childbirth. Then the next we have gnats or lice, which are so gross, but it's combating this god, a self-generated god of resurrection.
The swarms of flies, self-generated god of resurrection, he cannot control all these flies. This is not good news to have flies in his territory under his watch.
Ooh, the death of the livestock. This is cow-headed goddess of love and protection, the sacred bull deity, a symbol of fertility and power. This plague was an attack on the deities who supposedly protected livestock.
I found some images, an amulet depicting this god and also this goddess and how important they were. This is wood and this is some kind of a metal. Mm-hmm. And that's how important they were to the Egyptians that they have an amulet. God was able to pinpoint with accuracy the destruction of livestock and the destruction of the Egyptians versus his people. It's not like, uh-oh, I accidentally killed some Israelites. And this applies to us in the last days and the judgments that are going to come forth upon the earth according to the book of Revelation and other texts. So this is what it says, the Lord to Pharaoh, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, so he'll get this pasture and this group and these donkeys and so on, but he won't bother the livestock of Israel. That's how exact our God is. He pinpoints life or death with exact accuracy. It's a lesson for us.
Absolutely, as that's really powerful. And in fact, in preparation for this lesson, I read in Josephus, this blew my mind. It said that when the water was turned to blood, when the Israelites went to the Nile and drank from it, it had no effect on them. It was not bloody water to them.
That's an important point.
Wow, that's neat. Then we have the boils. Yuck. This is the lion-headed goddess of epidemics and healing.
That's a big blow to this goddess.
And that they couldn't...
They're supposed to keep epidemics away and heal people, and that's a big blow.
And they couldn't be healed.
No.
And of all the things, boils are painful.
Yeah, and this is what she looked like.
Hmm.
These are actual statues. Hail in fire, and the goddess of the sky and personification of the vault of heaven. So this is her right here with the stars, and she's leaning clear over like she's protecting everything. She's decorated with stars, stretches out over the earth. She was not able to protect these things coming from the sky with her body. They still came. They got past her.
Hmm.
The next one is Locust, a deity who protected against pests, and these are pests, so showing that he was powerless to protect the remaining crops. Each one of these is a blow to an Egyptian deity.
Number 9, darkness. So this god, the primary sun god and chief deity of Egypt, but 3 days of palpable darkness directly challenged the source of life and light in the Egyptian cosmos. You can just sense how hardened Pharaoh's heart must be for all of these gods to be refuted
by
the God of Israel.
Yeah.
And he's still like, no, you can't go, you can't go.
And where the Egyptians, I wonder what they're thinking when it has these darkness or the locusts or the frogs, what they're thinking, where is the sun god? I hate this darkness. Where are you?
Yeah, where is our God to protect us?
Where is our God to protect us?
And the gods they had believed in for so long that should be there.
Yes.
This is mind-blowing.
Yep. The death of the firstborn, the final plague was primarily directed against Pharaoh as a god of Egypt. Sometimes they thought they were a god, the succession from father to son, father to son. So there goes his successor. I've wondered if it's all the firstborn in Egypt. If it is, it would be in my household, it'd be my brother, my son, my dad, one of my grandpas.
Yeah.
So if they're all alive, is it all, each firstborn in the family? I don't know. Do you see what I'm asking?
I absolutely do. That's the way I've always understood it, which would make it so devastating.
Yes, yes.
More devastating than just recently firstborn.
Right,
like,
right.
That's a lot of deaths.
Yes.
A lot.
Yeah.
And I think what's so interesting about this whole idea is that we have talked about how every single one of these plagues that the Israelites were protected against, except this one. So now in this one, they are only protected in one special way. And what is that one way?
That's our next presentation.
Right.
But yes, the blood of the lamb on the doorpost saved the inhabitants within. And again, God can pinpoint and he knows, pass over pass over that household. There's blood on the lamb on the doorpost.
The symbolism of that is so profound. We have to mention it here, even though we will talk about the Passover in our next episode, but significant to me because every single one of these gods were defeated by our God. But then there's an actual literal symbol of him, of his blood, showing to the Egyptians, like, look, this is who is going to protect us. And everybody who believed that and put blood on their doorpost were absolutely protected by the God of Israel, a visual sign of who he was. And I think that is so powerful. This is such a fun way to teach this whole scripture block, a new way, just kind of elevates it. And like we said at the beginning, I don't think it was a way of God sticking it to the Egyptians and Pharaoh. I think it was a way of God saying, I am the God of Israel, and I am the God that you will worship from here on out. And that will come into play as you continue to read the book of Exodus, how important it is for them to believe in their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and I know I did. This was so much fun. So thank you for joining us. Shalom and goodbye.